Thank you for joining us today. This is Virtual Saguaro. Today is Sunday, 28 September 2014. You're in for another treat. Recently moved to Baku, Azerbaijan. I didn't even know where it was myself. So here's some impressions and some incidents and some events that we entered into by moving here and a lot of cultural impressions. Hope you enjoy it. And now on for the show. You know, I really like to whistle.
I know you like to whistle.
I have whistled ever since I was a little kid, and I probably learned to whistle because my dad used to whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd whistle when he ate his peanut butter sandwiches, and it was kind of hard. But he whistled all the time, and I've had problems here, as you've seen.
I know. So tell us all about the problems with whistling here.
It's not so much whistling here. I mean, it's whistling in a culture. It's
right.
Like it's not like the wind blows my whistle away. It's just that we've had some nice people at our school explain to us that people who whistle are looked at as kind of foolish,
mm-hmm.
or dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you want to preserve your self-worth, then you don't whistle.
Oh, so do you remember not to whistle?
No. No, I'm just whistling, and then I look around, and people are staring at me, and then I went, no, I'm whistling again. I don't know how to solve this. It's like an addiction that you don't even know you have.
Uh-huh.
You got any advice?
No. Sorry.
Oh. That's sad. You know, the other day we were trying to figure out holidays at our school, and it was really kind of complicated because I guess in the past I always thought that the school system would come up with a holiday and they'd say, you know, you get this holiday and we'll have this many days for winter break and things like that.
Well, right. Every school does that. So
yeah.
How can holidays be different?
Well, it seems that here, if you work in this country, the government determines your holidays, whether you work in a school or a business or anything else.
Well, isn't that kind of normal?
Well, yes, it is, and no, it's not. You're thinking of maybe like the U.S. where it has public holidays.
Right.
This is a different situation where if you have worked 10 years in this country, the government says that you have so many days off, not related to public holidays. So it's not like working for a corporation and the corporation said, you know, you've really worked for 3 years here and you get this many extra days from our company.
Mm-hmm.
The government says, if you are over 65 and still working, then you're entitled to a couple extra days.
Oh.
And if you've got a young child, then you have a couple more days.
And so do you have to take those days at a certain time?
You have the privilege of taking those when you want, in addition to the public holidays.
Oh, interesting. So do you know the most days that anybody can get off?
No, I don't know the most days, but it certainly makes a havoc with the fact that an individual has their rights for certain holidays, and a school is trying to balance the needs of the participants in the school and the teachers. So, like, if I hired a teacher at a school and they've worked for 20 years in this system, then they have the accumulation of holidays that they're allowed to have when they come in. They might have only worked for my organization 1 month, but they carry with them their personal holidays.
Hmm. And do they have a certain number of weeks off per year for vacation time in addition to the holidays?
No, this is their vacation time.
Oh.
They have a national vacation time that's accrued over your lifetime.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
It was certainly different for us. I heard that you went shopping the other day at a shopping mall. It was kind of busy with one of our friends who has a young child. You were telling a funny story about things. Come and tell me about that.
Well, my friend has a three-month-old baby, and this Azeri culture is crazy about babies. Everywhere we go, everybody has to talk to the baby, exclaim over the baby, look at the baby, talk about the baby. I mean, everybody loves babies, but it seems to be very, very strong in this culture.
Well, do they want to pick the baby up or do something?
Not so much. We were in the grocery store the other day, and one of the clerks kept saying in Aziri, cold, cold, cold. They thought the baby was cold. So soon there are three clerks around the baby, and they're putting his pants on, and they're putting his socks on, and they're tucking the little blanket around him.
Well, was it cold?
No.
Wasn't cold. Okay.
But it's kind of nice to walk places with her because the cars watch out for you. Everybody's very polite on the sidewalk. If you ever go on the bus, everybody gives up their seat immediately
for the baby. All you have to do is get like a little dummy that kind of looks like a baby and dress him in some swaddling clothes and put him in a little baby cart.
Yeah.
And then wherever you go, you get preferential treatment.
That would work.
Okay, I'm ready for it. Well, I think you might be able to better record this story, but I'll give the preface to it.
Okay.
Wasn't it last weekend or Friday or something, we wanted to go to an event in the evening. It was Friday, and maybe it was the event was going to start at like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about right?
Something like that.
Okay, and so I said I knew exactly where to go, and I exactly headed to the wrong place.
Right, right.
Yeah,
it was the wrong hotel. Okay.
Right, they both started with an H. I mean, a Hyatt and a Hilton, mm-hmm. they started with an H. Anyway, so we got halfway to the wrong place, and I said, uh-oh, this is not the right place. What did you experience during our little walk?
I don't know if words can describe it. When we were walking, I thought you should have taken your phone out and recorded.
But next time.
The traffic is almost at gridlock because there is so much traffic. And, you know, four lanes here mean nothing because people make their lanes wherever they want to make their lanes. It's like this huge school of fish, and every time one inch opens up, another car goes in front of it. But there was the cacophony of horns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just walked down the street holding my ears. I have never heard anything like it. And it's like, how does anybody think that's going to help the situation?
I don't know, but the horns were immense. And then we tried to use this subway to go underneath one of the roads. And it seemed like the horns followed us into the subway.
Oh,
it was even louder.
It was crazy.
Okay.
And then we finally got the metro. And that was crowded, but okay. And then we got a lovely Russian taxi driver who only spoke a couple of words of English, but he got into a big traffic jam.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
He went like this with his hands making a broken street sign, and sure enough, he had to take a detour because the street wasn't working.
Yeah, he kept saying, Baku problem, Baku problem.
Baku problem, yeah.
We finally got there, but it was quite an experience. Oh,
and that lady that you met at this gathering said that she had a driver. She's really lucky. She sat in the back seat. It took her two hours. Right.
I know. And then after going home, after all the traffic, we were home in 10 minutes.
That was on a public bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, with no problems. It was just
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Baku's, what do you call it, traffic.
Yeah.
Baku problem. You know, we take buses here because it's only 20 kopek, which is 20 cents we'll use, of one manat. It's one-fifth of a manat, and a manat is about equal to a euro, which is equal to about $1.20 or so of U.S. Okay?
Right, so it's about U.S. 25 cents.
Yeah, 25 cents. And you can get on a bus, and you can stay on that bus till it goes clear to its end. You can get on the metro, which is the subway, and you can go clear to its end for 20 cents. Okay, so it's really inexpensive. And they, buses, well, let's talk about traffic. We already did traffic. Let's talk about getting on the bus. Do you pay the money right there?
Nope. You just hop on that bus in either the front door or the back door, make no payment.
What do you mean you don't make any payment when you get on?
Nope. No payment when you get on. You pay when you get off the bus.
Well, sometimes the bus is so crowded, how do you wiggle your way? I mean, they do get crowded. How do you wiggle your way to the front of the bus to pay the guy?
You don't have to. You can go out the back door.
All right.
And then you walk around to the front of the bus and just lean in and hand the driver your 20 kopek.
Okay. Well, on the many, many, many times that we've ridden the buses, I've seen people do this. And why do they do this? Why don't they just run down the street and go, yay, I saved 20 kopek?
Well, I think it has to do with the payment to the bus driver.
Okay. The bus driver has a route.
Right.
But how does he make his money?
Well, he has the rights to drive on that route, and I guess he gives the bus company a certain amount of money every day for that route. And then anything over that that he collects from the passengers is his...
His gain.
His gain,
okay,
right.
Okay, so if I think I'm stealing from the company, I'm not.
No, you're stealing from the individual driver if you don't pay your fare.
Well, I mean, I'm so impressed that everybody pays, and it seems to be a great system, and I love it because it's so quick and efficient.
Yeah, and it seems to work.
Yeah, and if people come on the bus and they've got a manat and they need change, they make the change while he's driving down the road.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, problematic, but they do it and it works.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I really like the system.
Yep.
Okay, taxis in this country, they're kind of like two kinds.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange to think you're in Baku and they've got this kind of high-top purple London cab that looks like it just came out of London, except it's purple.
Exactly like the London cabs.
It's got the little thing on top.
Yep.
What's one of the advantages with your friend the other day was the London cab has a lot of room.
Right. Yeah, it got a lot of room in those cabs. And so she had the baby in the stroller, and you just pick the stroller up and set it right inside
the cab. The side door opens.
You've got room right in there. So, yeah, they're really nice.
And they also have meters.
Right.
And so you can kind of be assured that you have a fair treatment of time, distance, and dollars owed. The other possibility is to use other taxis.
Mm-hmm.
What are they like?
They're more individual cars, although they are official taxis, and they have an official taxi sign on them. And I guess you kind of negotiate with the driver as far as what you want to pay for where you're going.
Okay, because they don't have a meter.
They don't have a meter, right.
Right, but they can charge what they want, and if you know approximately what you should pay.
Right.
How do you keep them from going the long route instead of the short route?
Well, if you don't know where you're going, you don't have much choice with that. But, you know, overall, I don't think that people take advantage of you here.
Yeah. Oh, we had a good Russian driver the other night.
Yeah.
It was funny. He was doing his best to try and say English, and we had like four words in Russian.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, a lot of fun with taxis. Taxis don't go any farther than the rest of the buses when they're all stopped in the cars.
Right. But you can hire taxis, too, for long, long distances.
Oh, yes, right.
You know, they'll take you 2.5-3 hours outside of town.
Which is better than trying to own a car, in my opinion.
Right, for a reasonable fare.
Okay. Well, I think we're pretty lucky where we live because within a 5-minute jog and maybe a 10-minute walk, we kind of go down 3 or 4 blocks and underneath a major highway or boulevard near the Caspian Sea, and then the government and the city have built this beautiful thing called the Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a lovely seaside promenade that goes for about 3 miles along the Caspian Sea.
And when you say a promenade, they've got everything in it. They've got all kinds of olive trees and topiaries. They've got
parks.
They have a little amusement center for children at one end.
Mm-hmm.
Carpet museum's beautiful.
Yeah,
they got big flags and monuments. What I liked also in the early morning, it's rather dark. I'm out doing some jogging, and I see these shadows sometimes, but they're bronze statues.
Yeah. So you got the artist that's painting and the fisherman on the wharf.
And the violin player.
Yeah. And the little guy that's reaching, the businessman reaching down to shake your hand.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and then portions of the statues are all rubbed beautifully clean.
Where people put their hands over their shoulders and touch their head.
Mm-hmm.
It's well done. It's well lit. It's huge and beautiful and wide, and it holds thousands and thousands of people with no crowdings.
Yeah. One of the things that I really enjoy is because we lived in Arizona for many years, we have a love of cactus. And they
love those cactus.
They have a beautiful, beautiful cactus garden here that's very large. I mean, they even have saguaro cactus. They've got barrel cactus. They've got
prickly pear.
Prickly pear, cholla. Yeah, it's just quite amazing.
Now, why would they have that? Oh, we heard one story.
Oh, yeah, what with some of the trees. Oh, remember we saw that tree that was from Italy that was...
Oh, 300 and...
400 years old
420 years old.
Yeah.
It was a olive tree.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay, just amazing. But we heard a story that when ships came over, they would not have to pay the port tax if they brought some indigenous trees
from
the country from which they came.
Right.
And then they've done a wonderful job planting these different trees along the boulevard.
Yeah, that one display is quite amazing. And what's odd to me is I heard the story and then said, well, how do you drive a ship from Argentina to Baku? There is no way to get there. The Caspian Sea is landlocked. It doesn't have an entrance.
Right.
So it must be that no matter how you got it here, they called it the port of entry. So if you brought it over land, which you'd have to have run it by land, then you still were avoiding the tax that you would have had to pay or something. So anyway, they encourage these people from all over the world, and we've got quite a display of indigenous trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also from this boulevard, you can see one of the world's largest flags. It's immense. It is so tall, and I only know that at one time, it was the world's largest, but apparently one of the countries around this area has built one that's just a centimeter or two wider or taller.
Mean.
Well, it's the bragging rights of the largest one. Last weekend or 2 weekends ago, we wanted to take a trip to a national park.
Mm-hmm.
We were really excited about this, and we began talking with our colleagues who are native here in the works, and they had never heard of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't they hear about a national park? We were soon to find out about this park.
Yeah, interesting. You know, we thought that it would be a good adventure because it's not that far from the city of Baku, where we are.
Yeah, it was about, 20-minute metro ride and then about 45 minutes.
No, it's an hour bus ride.
An hour bus ride with a bazillion stops.
Right.
And then we are at the eagle's beak of this country. And if you ever look at the shape of this country on a map, it has two spread wings, and there's a shape of an eagle flying to the right, and its beak comes down in a very narrow peninsula, and that's where the national park was.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we got to the last city, we took a...
Well, I wouldn't call it a city.
Oh, well, what, a town?
Village? Very small town. You know, to me, it looks like something you would see in a typical Middle Eastern village, you know, very narrow little roads
very
inside.
Narrow. No multi-story
block
place.
Walls, dry, dusty.
Yeah, that's true. It had a name, and it had a geographical thing called Zira.
Right.
So it had something. It was also the last stop on the buses.
Right.
Okay. And then we hopped in a taxi, or we tried to negotiate a taxi. There were two taxis sitting there, and I thought for sure that the six of us were going to be going in two taxis. And the two taxi drivers talked back and forth, and pretty soon he opened up the trunk, and he says, put all your back, he didn't say this, but of course we didn't understand.
Yeah, and of course none of us really speak any Azerbaijani
we
or
speak
Azeri.
Hands. We speak hands.
Right,
yeah.
So all of this negotiation is,
Yeah, just it's negotiation, and you're not quite sure what you've negotiated. So he says, he motions to put all our backpacks in the trunk of this little tiny Russian car called a Lada. Well, it has four doors, and it has a trunk, and it has an engine in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So we were expecting that three of us would ride in this first one, and three of us would ride in the second one, and he keeps pointing for all of us, all six of us, to get in this little car.
Yeah. So you're in the front seat, and I'm sitting on your lap with my head touching the ceiling.
Yeah, bonk, bonk, bonk.
Yeah, Jean's in the back, sitting on Tom's lap with her head kind of crooked, because I don't think she could sit up straight. Along with Jeanette and Cynthia in the back. So there were six of us plus the driver in this little tiny car. It was like one of those clown cars that you see at
the circus
where, you know, how many clowns can keep getting in and out of this car?
Well, us six clowns bounced around safely. The car was really actually quite good for that much weight. I expected it to be bottoming out or hitting something on the ground, but we got to the national park. Okay, we'd been warned about this park because someone else had tried to get to the park, and it wasn't open when they went.
Well, we got there, and the gate was locked, and a young man came over and spoke no English.
Spoke Russian.
Right, or
Azerbaijani.
Right, okay, which didn't do a lot of good for us. No. Anyway, he kind of made motions like he would call somebody.
Oh, yeah, he put his hand on his shoulder. And I, this is funny because I really thought he was talking about the general or the major or the higher up. You know. And sure enough.
Yeah, yeah. A gentleman came 10, 15 minutes later, and he spoke some English, you know, enough to do basic communications with. And so he brought us into the park and asked us if we had paid our fees. And we said, no.
No, we haven't paid our fees. We can pay now, but
They don't accept payment at the park. So he gave us a little piece of paper and told us that on Monday, the following day, to go to the bank and pay for our admission to the national park.
Okay, so this kind of makes sense because that way they wouldn't have to keep track of money at the park.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's no transit, you know, money, whatever. Okay, so skipping the details of the park, we'll talk about that next. We enjoyed our trip, and we were given this piece of paper with all the bank details.
Right.
Bank account numbers and SWIFT codes and the whole works, and the money is going to be credited to the National Park System. And it was perfect. It was a nice, clear piece of paper. So I go to work on Monday, and you go to the bank.
Yep. So I go to the first bank, and nobody speaks any English, and so they make some calls, and they say, no, you can't pay that here. You have to go to the Ministry of Finance. And so they gave me the address to the Ministry of Finance.
Did you walk?
No, I took a cab.
Okay.
And so took a cab to the Ministry of Finance, went in the Ministry of Finance, they look at this paper and they look at me and they have no idea what's going on and they say, no, you don't do this here. And they said, go down the street two doors on your left. So I go down the street two doors on my left and it's a travel agency. And so the lady spoke English and she was very nice and she came out and she looked at the piece of paper and she said, go to the bank and pay this. And I said, well, I already tried that. And so there was another really, really lovely young girl in the office, and she said, well, I'll go with you to the bank.
Oh, this is good. So it probably worked out just fine.
Well, we walked about 10 minutes or so to the nearest bank, and we went in. And again, there's discussion and discussion and discussion, and nobody knows about this, and nobody knows about the national park. And they say, well, you can't pay this unless you have an account with our bank. Would you like to open an account?
Wait a minute. Let's go slow. The park says to pay the money, and you have to have an account to pay the money?
Right.
You can't just hand them the money over the counter?
No. So we walk another 5 minutes to another bank. And same story, you can't pay this unless you have an account. So I thanked the girl and said, I'll talk to people at our school and see if they can help us.
Yeah, the postscript on this particular episode is that I went to the school and they didn't understand about the park either. They never heard of such a thing, but they understood that they had an account. So we took some money out of my own personal account and the school paid it for us. We think. We hope.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope, because if we ever go back, I want to make sure that we're friends.
Right, because the national park has your passport details.
Yeah.
So if they try to fly out of the country and they say, you owe money.
No. Don't do that. It'll work out. Okay. Well, we're here in Baku, and Baku has been around a long time. We didn't know what Baku was or what Azerbaijan was, but Baku has an enormously long history of oil.
Hmm.
Oil has been at the foundation of their society for a long, long, long time. It was the first major deep well oil that was drilled here in Asia, all of Asia, which includes
when
Europe.
When was that?
Oh, wow. I think it was 1858. And I'd like to point all of our listeners to the website, virtualsorrow.com, because there's a lot of links that I place there which describe the oil industry, the history, and everything about Baku. Mm-hmm. So currently, Baku is repositioning itself as a major oil supplier in this area. In fact, they supplied 70 or 80% of Russia's oil during World War II.
Hmm.
If it hadn't been for that, Russia wouldn't have been able to fight the way it did.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of oil history here. Find it very fascinating. They're also exploring and building a large gas pipeline from here to Italy. It'll be open in 2020, and it will supply the future growth potential for this country from all into the near future.
Don't they have an entire town that's out in the Caspian Sea that's an oil?
Yeah, I don't know how they built the town or whatever, but yeah, it's got lots of people living out in the Caspian Sea on an island.
That's actually an oil...
It's an oil facility.
Facility.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, hope you guys enjoy this today, and we'll catch you again. Well, we covered a lot of material and had a lot of laughs. Our life's kind of filled with adventure right now. If you'd like to learn more about the Azerbaijan, we have a website, virtualsawaro.com, and there's a significant amount of blogging on that site, along with posts, especially show notes for this particular podcast. In there, you will learn about the oil history of this region and a couple links to some different places that you enjoy. We've got a lot of pictures of our events, so we hope you enjoy that too. You know, thank you for dropping by. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and until the next time, we'll see you again from Baku, Azerbaijan. Bye-bye.